Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 10. We're going to get into some more teaching tonight about this important story about Peter and Cornelius here in your Bible. This is, of course, the story of a Gentile man by the name of Cornelius, and he trusts Christ as his Savior, and his entire household does that also. How many of you remember the day when you trusted Christ? Amen? Boy, wasn't that a great day? And this was the day that Cornelius and his household trusted Christ. I wonder, I'm curious, when you got saved, is there anyone in here who, when you trusted the Lord, there was a friend or family member who got saved at the same time you did? Anybody like that? Wow, a lot of people. That's what happened here. Cornelius and his entire household get saved at the same time. There's a statement in your Bible, in your handout, that I want you to get. It says, this is a very significant event in your Bible, and it will provide a bridge from the Apostle Peter to the Apostle Paul, and it's a bridge from God's kingdom program for the nation of Israel to the dispensation of grace that we live in today. And if we bring up the map real quickly that I showed you Sunday night, this is a continuation of Sunday night, just to kind of refresh your memory a little bit here, Peter is in Jerusalem right here. He goes over to Lydda where he does those miracles we covered last Wednesday night. Then he's called to go to Joppa to do, he does another miracle. He raises up Dorcas from the dead. And you can't forget that name, Dorcas. And so he raises her up from the dead. And while he is in Joppa, that's where this whole event transpires, where he sees the vision with the sheet coming down and the animals and the voice saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "Not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean." And God says, "What I've called clean, don't you call unclean." And then finally he, gets a knock on the door, and some men have come down from Cornelius' house from Caesarea. They come to Joppa. They get Peter, because God revealed to Cornelius to go get Peter. So they go get Peter. He comes back to Caesarea, and this is where this great event takes place, where the first Gentiles are saved. They trust Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, and Peter and his group are astonished. They can't get over it. And can anybody tell me, because Paul was saved in Acts 9, this is Acts 10, where was Paul when all this was happening? He's up here. He's back in his hometown of Tarsus. That's right. And after this event takes place, it's going to open up the door for Paul's ministry to be the apostle to the Gentiles, to go out on his great missionary trips, as we know from Antioch here, and to launch out into Gentile territories and have that great ministry among the Gentiles. This event with Peter is going to be the bridge. It's going to open up the door for Paul's ministry that will come in the next chapter in Acts 11 and ultimately then in Acts 13. So this is a very significant event, very important. That's why we need to spend a little time on it, and we really need to look at it. We need to answer some questions. And so we began to do that Sunday night. And of course, I have given you one Sunday morning message where we talked about Paul waiting on God. And we talked about how when Paul was up there in Tarsus waiting on the Lord, this whole event took place. And I gave you kind of an overview of the story. Then Sunday night we came back and we answered a couple of questions as we delve deeper. We answered the question, and I want y'all to think with me, and those of you that were here Sunday night, hopefully you'll know the answer. Was Cornelius, when the Bible says that Cornelius was a devout man, he believed in God, he prayed to God, he gave alms, he fasted, we know that Cornelius was a Gentile, uncircumcised Gentile, and that he did a lot of good things. But was Cornelius lost or was he saved? He was lost. Did he need Christ? Yes or no? That's why God sent Peter, right? Because he needed the Lord Jesus Christ. He needed to be saved. And so we looked at that Sunday night. The second question that we asked was this. when Peter left, okay, let's go ahead and write that in your handout right there. I'm sorry, I didn't realize there was a blank. Cornelius was a Gentile who believed in God, did many good things, but he was lost and he needed Christ. All right, now let's go to the second question there, and let's go back to the map if we could. All right, let's go back to the map. Now look at this. When Peter left Joppa and he goes up to Caesarea, goes to Cornelius' house, and they all get saved. When Peter went and did this, did he have a grasp and did he have an understanding of the dispensation of grace that we live in today? He did not. If we go to the kingdom chart, if we could go to that chart, the parentheses here is where we're living in, the dispensation of grace. And Peter understood the kingdom program very well, but he did not have any understanding or grasp of this. And we looked at that in detail. In your handout, it says, up to this point, there had been no knowledge given to Peter about God postponing his kingdom program for Israel and ushering in the dispensation of grace. Now you fill in the next blank. Look at it. The revelation of the mystery of the one new body in Christ and the dispensation of grace that we live in today, that would come later. The revelation of that would come later through the apostle who? Paul. Good. Excellent. So that's going to come later through Paul. So if you turn your handout over, now we're going to get into some new ground tonight. And we're going to look at a third question about this story. And that is this. Was it because of Peter's rebellion and disobedience that he did not want to go to Cornelius' house? Now, let me just say this before you answer, okay? Some people have accused Peter, and I've heard this personally preached this way. Some people have accused Peter of being really more or less kind of a prejudiced bigot who knew that he should have been going to the Gentiles all along, but he kind of needed a kick in the seat of the pants by God to go and to get going with the program. You know, that's unfair, and it's very unkind to Peter. When we fail to rightly divide God's word, when we fail to understand, if you go back to the chart, not the map, but the chart, when you fail to understand that yellow parentheses right there that was hidden in God, this right here, the information about this time period we're living in, the Bible says it was a mystery. It was kept secret. It was kept hidden since the foundation of the world. When you do not understand that parentheses time period that we're living in, that God called a timeout basically to the prophetic plan, and he threw in this parentheses that was unprophesied, it was unrevealed, nobody knew that it was going to happen. When you fail to understand the unfolding of God's purpose and God's plan in the dispensation of grace through Paul, you can arrive at some very unscriptural and unkind conclusions. Was Peter a bigot? Was Peter prejudiced against Gentiles? Was it that Peter was rebellious and that's why he was not already going to the Gentiles? In your handout, it says a casual reading of the first 9 chapters of the book of Acts. You don't even have to delve very far. Just a casual reading presents a man in Peter who is God's man and who is sold out to his Savior. Those of you who know the book of Acts know that this is true. If you just flip back, go back to chapter 2 real quick. We'll just flip back and kind of look at this a little bit. But if you look back at chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when Jerusalem is full of people, and they have just crucified Christ 50 days earlier, right? Or, you know, approximately 53 days earlier. They've crucified Christ, and the disciples forsook him and fled for fear of their life. Now all of a sudden, Peter in Acts 2 stands, and look at verse 22. And I want you to notice right out there publicly, who is he addressing? Verse 22, Acts 2:22, who is Peter addressing? Ye men of Israel, hear these words. And man, I mean, this guy just boldly preaches Christ to Israel. Look at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both what? Man, y'all are doing great tonight. You're with me. Both Lord and Christ. And then verse 41. Go down to verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So Peter gets up, and 3,000 sounds like a lot, but you got to understand, there were hundreds of thousands of people. Only 3,000 believed, but still, Peter gets up, boldly preaches Christ publicly, when just literally less than 2 months earlier they've crucified Christ and did away with their Messiah. You go over to Acts chapter 3, and you see Peter doing a mighty miracle, healing a lame man there in Acts 3. Go over to Acts 5, Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Go down to verse 14. And the believers were the more added to the Lord. Verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of who? Peter, passing by, might overshadow some of them. You go down to, go back to, let's see, well, chapter 4. They lay hands, verse 3, they lay hands on the apostles. They put them in hold till the next day. And you go down there to verses 5 through 13. Look at verse 13. The leaders of Israel here. Well, you look up at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And man, he just preaches Christ boldly. Verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John. You go over to chapter 5, verse 17. Here again, they put them in prison. And then they bring them out and they threaten them. Verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to what? Obey God rather than men. And then boom, man, I mean, they just preach Christ to the leadership of Israel again. They beat them in verse 40 and 41. They beat them. Verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You go over to Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, and we studied verses 32 through 43. There he heals a lame man. He raises up a lady from the dead. And let me remind you, what was Peter doing when the vision came from God? Does anybody remember? What was Peter doing when God gave him the vision with the sheet coming down and the unclean animals? Anybody remember? What was he doing? He was praying. So let me ask you a question. When you study Acts 1 through 9, when you look at Peter, do you see in Peter the heart of a prideful, stubborn, rebellious man? Yes or no? Not at all. We see a man filled with the Holy Spirit. We see a man that is bold. We see a man that's courageous. We see a man that's God's man. We see a man that, I mean, has just got some spiritual guts. In your handout, it says that Peter was a man who was working tirelessly for the repentance and restoration of Israel so that she might be a channel of blessing to the world. Now, I want us to go back to the chart. I want to do a little teaching here, and I want you to follow me now and listen on purpose, okay, church? You guys are here on Wednesday night, and I know you want teaching, so I want to give it to you. If you look at this chart, Peter understood something. And this is something that you've got to grasp this, or the first nine chapters of Acts will boggle your mind if you don't get this. Peter and the other apostles had walked with Christ for 3.5 years. Then they spent 40 days with the risen Christ receiving instruction. One of the last things they asked Christ, Acts 1:8, is they said, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel?" They had been well schooled in the prophetic kingdom plan that God is going to bring a kingdom over here on the earth where there will be a Messiah ruling and reigning over the earth. Israel will be the channel through which Christ will bless the nations. This kingdom program was prophesied in the Old Testament. Much of your Old Testament deals with looking forward to it. Jesus came and declared to Israel that it was at hand, but they crucified Him. The Holy Spirit comes. Peter again preaches it in Acts 1 through 7. They again reject that kingdom plan. They reject Christ. They reject the Holy Spirit. God saves Paul in Acts 9. But Paul is sent home to Tarsus. So when Acts 10 comes, they're still following the program that's been revealed, and that is the kingdom program for Israel, that God wants to reach the Gentiles, that He wants them to make disciples of all nations, but that Israel must be converted first. When God's people, Israel, when God's chosen people are converted, when the leadership of Israel is converted, and Israel is converted, then notice what's going to happen. Go back to Acts 3. Let me show you something here. Go back to Acts 3. And notice what He preaches to Israel here. He preaches to them about crucifying Christ. "You've killed the Prince of Life," verse 15, "but He's raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." And then go down to verse 19. What does Peter tell Israel that they need to do? Verse 19, what is the very first word of Acts 3:19? Repent. Repent of what? Crucifying their Messiah. Right. "Repent ye therefore, and be" what? "The conversion of Israel, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from" what? "Presence of the Lord," verse 20, "and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." Now look at the chart. "Whom the heaven must receive," He's up here, but the heavens are only going to receive Him until the times, look at it, "of restitution of" what? "All things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began." So was this plan of a Messiah coming, bringing the restitution of all things on the earth, bringing in this kingdom on earth, was that something hidden, or was that something that had been made known? It had been made known, He said, from all the holy prophets since the world began. Did Peter know the plan, yes or no? He knew the plan. He knew the plan. He knew it from studying the Old Testament. He knew it from listening to Christ. He knew it from what Christ had told him. He knew the plan. And that is that Israel is converted first, and then they become a blessing to the world. Look down at verse 25. Verse 25, Acts 3:25. He tells Israel, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham," look at this, "and in thy seed," that's Israel, "shall all the kindreds of the earth" be what? So how's God going to bless the nations? Through Israel, right. They're going to be the channel of blessing. They're going to be the instructors. They're going to be the priests of God on earth that are going to teach the nations, disciple them, and are going to educate them and that are going to spread his kingdom throughout the whole earth. Israel is the vessel, the channel through which he's going to accomplish this kingdom being spread throughout the whole earth. They're that vessel. Now look at verse 26. So unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now, you read that, and it's very clear Peter was not prejudiced against the salvation of the Gentiles. Man, you read that and you realize Peter longed for it. He was hungering for the Gentiles to hear the good news of Christ and the good news of the kingdom. Remember, Jesus told him the good news of the kingdom is going to be preached throughout the earth. He told him that in Matthew 24. You're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom throughout the earth. He was eager for that to take place. He was eager for the, quote, Great Commission to get underway so that the news of the kingdom could go out to all the nations. So he's hungering for this. This isn't a man prejudiced against the Gentiles. Go over to Acts 11 real quick. Acts chapter 11. When the church at Jerusalem, when the Jews heard about Cornelius and they heard from Peter what happened and they got the firsthand story from Peter. All right, Acts 11, 18 says, when they heard these things, they held their peace. And what did they do? They glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. They weren't upset. They weren't prejudiced. When they realized that man, God did this, they were real happy about it. Look at Acts 11 and verse 23. Notice that when Barnabas came and saw the grace of God, he saw all these Gentiles at Antioch that had been saved. What does it say about Barnabas, who's from the church at Jerusalem? He was what? He was glad and exhorted them all. See, so we're not dealing with folks who are prejudiced against the Gentiles. What we're dealing with here is we're dealing with the fact that Peter understood, he was limited in his understanding. He only knew what had been revealed up to that point. And that is the conversion of Israel happens first. That's why he told them, you've got to begin at Jerusalem. It's got to start at Jerusalem. When the persecution came against the church at Jerusalem, the Bible says the disciples spread, you know, they spread out throughout Israel preaching the word, except the apostles. The apostles, Acts 8:1 says, they stayed here at Jerusalem in Acts 8:1. Why would they risk their life to stay at Jerusalem? It's because they understood the program. They understood the kingdom prophetic program. And that is, they're going to keep working for the conversion of Israel's leadership in Jerusalem. They're going to keep working for the conversion of Jerusalem. And then from that, it will spread out. But that's got to happen first. Now, in your handout there, it says, what Peter did not understand. He understood the kingdom program, that Israel had to be converted first. They would be a blessing to the Gentiles. What he did not understand was why God would have him go to Gentiles, Cornelius, while Israel was still unconverted. That he didn't get that. In fact, before I give you the blank, look over at Acts 10. Go back to Acts 10. And when the Gentiles believe and they get the Holy Spirit, They receive the Holy Spirit. What was Peter, was his reaction to that, that he expected it? He's thinking, yes, yeah, this is great. This is what Christ said was going to happen, and this is awesome. Is it something that Christ had prepared him for that to happen? No, look at verse 45, or go up to verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them, those Gentiles, which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, the ones that, Peter and the Jews. He says, they of the circumcision which believed were what? Astonished. As many as came with Peter. Because on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why would they be astonished? Now you got to think. Right. They're astonished. They can't believe it. Why? Well, because the plan that they were schooled in was the kingdom plan on earth, that Christ is going to, first Israel will be converted, and then from Israel, they will be a blessing to all nations. The kingdom is going to be established through the conversion of Israel. Now let me say that again. The kingdom on earth is established through the conversion of Israel. They're the channel, they're the vessel through which God's going to do it. So now all of a sudden, Israel's not converted, they're still in rebellion, but Gentiles are getting the Holy Spirit. They're astonished. That's not at all what the prophetic plan called for. Of course, we know what's going on, don't we? We know God is preparing to reveal something that's been hidden in the mind of God since the foundation of the world. God is about to reveal this yellow parentheses called the dispensation of grace. He's about to reveal that to Paul, who's then going to preach it and proclaim it and make it known. But at this point, it hasn't been made known. So they're astonished. They can't get over it. They can't believe it. That's why Jerusalem church responded the way they did at first. And they called Peter on the carpet for it until Peter explained it all to them. In your handout, it says, what Peter did not understand was why God would have him go to Gentiles while Israel was still unconverted. This was a purpose involving the mystery of God's dispensation of grace, which was hidden in the mind of God. This information had not been made public yet. Now, one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they study their Bible, you know what it is? We read a text, and what we do is we read into the text revelation that hasn't been made known yet. Y'all with me? When you try to read in all the truths of the dispensation of grace into Acts 10, that's a big mistake because none of it was revealed yet. None of that had been made known. None of those books of the Bible have been written yet. None of that information has been made known yet. So do you see how people want to pull their hair out when they want to try to make Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, Acts 1 through 10, when you want to try to make that fit into the box of the church age and dispensation of grace, do you see why people want to pull their hair out when they do that? Because we're reading revelation into that that hasn't even been made known yet. Those divine truths are going to be revealed through Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, and this event, listen, this event with Peter and Cornelius, that's going to pave the way for Paul to begin his great Gentile ministry. But Peter doesn't know that. Peter doesn't know that this event is going to pave the way for Paul. He barely even knew Paul. Paul had spent very little time at all with Peter, if you read Galatians 1 and 2. So Paul's up way up in Tarsus. Peter barely even knows who Paul is. He has no clue that this Acts 10 event is going to pave the way for this new dispensation, this new program of God, this new revelation of God, this new apostle named Paul. He has no idea. But yet we see God at work. We look back now with 2020, what do they say? Hindsight's always 2020. And boy, isn't that the truth, you know? We look back and we see it so clearly. But you gotta understand, Peter, he did not know this. So you cannot forget that the Bible is a book of progressive revelation. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is Moses had more information from God than Abraham did. You realize Abraham had no written word at all? He strictly had what God revealed to him personally through visions, but he had no written word. Moses then had the law. Then you move forward several centuries Israel's got more information because all these prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel have come. Then you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Israel's got even more information because Christ the Messiah has actually come and had a 3.5-year ministry in Israel. So now they got more information. But you understand that Moses had more information than Abraham. The 12 had more information than Moses. But then as you move forward through the Bible, then you realize Paul had more information than the 12 because Christ personally appeared in revelations to Paul over and over and over again, you know, with multiple revelations in books of the Bible that Paul writes. And so the Bible is a book of progressive revelation. So Peter, he didn't have all the information we have today. Peter's operating based on what Christ had revealed up to that point. Paul's just been saved in Acts 9. He's waiting up in Tarsus. None of the glorious truths of the dispensation of grace have been revealed yet. So when the time comes for God to send Peter to a Gentile's house, did you notice something? Those of you who are astute, I'm sure you picked up on this. That when God came to get Peter to go to a Gentile's house, because he's going to pave the way later for Paul. So when the time comes for Peter to go to Cornelius' house, does Christ appear to Peter and basically say to him, "Hey, Pete, remember what I told you? Get with the program." Is that what it was? Does Christ refer back to stuff he had told him in his 3.5-year ministry or during the 40 days after the resurrection? Does he refer back to something he said earlier? Yes or no? Not at all. When he wants to get Pete over to Cornelius's, does Christ appear and point Peter to an Old Testament passage and based on that Old Testament passage say, "Come on, man, get with the program. You got to get to the Gentiles." Is that what he does? Nope. It was by special vision and special divine revelation that God got Peter to Cornelius's house. Why? Why did it take special divine revelation to get him there? Because there was nothing to point back to that would have taught Peter to go to the Gentiles before Israel was converted. There was nothing to point back to. There were no words that Christ could point back to that would have taught Peter to say, "Remember, Peter, what I taught you? You know, the Gentiles are going to be converted despite Israel's rebellion." No, there was nothing like that ever said. They were still looking for the conversion of Israel's kingdom and the restoration of it the day Christ left. They're still looking for it. So there was nothing for Christ to point back to in the Old Testament or in his own words to Peter that would have taught Peter to go to a Gentile's house when Israel hadn't been converted yet. So it took special divine vision and revelation to get him there. See, Peter knew, he knew what Christ had taught him. He was very familiar with it. He knew the prophetic plan of Scripture. He knew the Gentiles would... Listen, Peter knew the Gentiles would be converted. We just read it in Acts 3, 25 and 26. He knew the Gentiles would be converted. But he knew it'd be through Israel, not in spite of Israel. So that's why he's so confused when God wants him to go to a Gentile's house when, you know, when Israel hasn't been converted yet. So, to answer our question, I said all that just to answer this question. Was Peter rebellious and disobedient? Is that why he wouldn't go to Cornelius' house, yes or no? Not at all. He wasn't rebellious. He was a man of God that loved the Lord. He was just following what had been revealed up to that point. He was following the plan that had been revealed. Okay, I'm almost out of time. But why? Fourth question there. Why was Peter so vehemently opposed to eating the meats that God told him to eat? When the sheet descends, look back at chapter 10 real quickly, real fast. I think I can do this fast. Look at chapter 10, verse 13. So the sheet descends with all these wild beasts. Verse 13, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Get your fork, get your knife, eat. Did Peter know that was the Lord? Well, look at verse 14. But Peter said, not so, what? Lord. For I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. So he knew very clearly this was the Lord, but he says, not so, Lord. Look at verse 17. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Did Peter immediately get it and understand what God was doing? Yes or no? He didn't at all. He doubted. He's thinking, okay, is this a test from the Lord? Is there some hidden secret meaning to this vision that I need to try to figure out? As saved Gentiles today, listen, as saved Gentiles today, we read that and we think, what's the big deal, Pete? Dive in and enjoy. Right? Man, we had a roast beef today for lunch and it was good. So we're thinking, dive in, man, enjoy it. We're thinking in our minds, all meats are created by God to be received with thanksgiving. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Wait a minute though. That's future revelation. There we go. Are we going to read future revelation into this story? No. In your handout, it says Peter, the 12, and all the church were still law-observing Jews here in Acts 10. This included a strict prohibition against eating unclean meat. You can read that there in Leviticus 20:25. It's in your handout. Now that's the law of Moses, folks. That's not to be taken lightly. To disregard that would be a serious matter. And in your handout, look at that next statement. When Christ trained the 12, never did he indicate that they would no longer observe the Mosaic law. Do y'all understand that when Christ ascended up into heaven, never did he leave instructions with the 12, hey, you don't have to obey the law anymore. Do you know that never happened? Did you know that Christ told them, I did not come to break the law, I came to fulfill it, every jot and tittle? Did you know that Christ instructed his followers, including the 12, did you know he told them to observe and do all that the scribes and Pharisees command you because they occupy Moses' seat of authority? Matthew 22:2-3. In some of the very last words to his apostles, you know what he told them? Christ told them that they would ultimately make disciples of all nations, teaching them, the Gentile nations, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Think with me. If the 12 are going to disciple nations by teaching them to observe everything Christ told them to observe, would that include the Old Testament law? Absolutely. Because he taught them to observe that. He never violated that, never broke that, never taught them to break it. Yeah, so they're going to go out and he said, observe and do what the Pharisees tell you because they occupy Moses' seat. Then, a few chapters later, he says, oh, and you're going to ultimately go out into all nations and you're going to teach them to observe these things. Matthew 28:20. By the way, let me give you the blanks and then we're going to look up one passage. It says there, as you read the early part of Acts, it's clear that the disciples were not striving to start a religious sect separate from Judaism. They were the true Israelites who had accepted Christ as their Messiah and faithfully observe the law. They are still law-keeping Jews in the early part of Acts and all throughout here to Acts 10. There would be no, in your handout, it says there would be no revelation to the law being done away until it was given through Paul. So look up here real quick at the screen. Don't put your handout up yet because I want you to write down a reference here in a second. But go to the chart if you could. Could you go back to the chart? This parentheses right here, for this parentheses right here, the dispensation of grace that we live in, for the body of Christ, is it incumbent on us to obey the dietary restrictions of the law? No. Paul said, you're not under the law, you're under grace. But in Acts 10, that hadn't been revealed yet. They are still observing the law. Their faith is in Christ. They're not observing the law to be saved, all right, but they're observing the law because that's God's word to them. and nothing else has been revealed that would say, don't do that. Okay, that's God's word to them. So Peter gets this sheet coming down with these unclean animals, and God says, rise and eat. Well, while Peter's scratching his head, and he's scratching his head trying to figure out what all this stuff means, two things happened that brought clarity to Pete. Verse 17, look at it. It says, now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So while he's perplexed and scratching his head, a knock comes at the door, and here's these Gentile men from Cornelius' house. Simultaneously with that, look at verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? So two things happen that get Pete where he needs to go. Number one, and it helps him to understand this vision of the animals. Number one, the knock comes at the door with these Gentile men. Number two, the Holy Spirit says, go with them. So now Peter's starting to put this together. That God gave me this vision because these unclean animals represent what we consider to be unclean men, the Gentiles. And it's by special vision and special divine revelation that God gets Peter to Cornelius' house. So, look back. This is what I wanted you to see. We've got about 3 minutes. I want you to look at a fascinating passage. Go back to the Old Testament prophet of Zechariah. And that's going to be right near the end of your Old Testament. Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8. That's right before the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. Zechariah 8. And look at verse 8. Here's some prophecy concerning Israel. Now follow this. This gets good. Look at Zechariah 8:8. God said, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Skip down to verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, the Gentiles, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a what? Blessing. So he said, Israel, I'm going to bless the Gentiles through you. Now look down and look at verse 20 and you'll see how this works out. Look at verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass, this is an amazing passage, that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong what? Nations, Gentiles, shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, that's the Gentiles, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Whew. Wow. So do you see how the Great Commission of Matthew 28 is going to be fulfilled? You see that he said, Israel, if you'll repent, Christ is going to return, and the times of restitution will come. And Israel then is going to become this kingdom of priests on earth, and they are going to make disciples of all nations. And the nations, the Gentiles literally, will grab a hold of a Jew. 10 men will grab the hold of one Jew and say, teach us about God. Disciple us. Teach us. Because we've heard that God is with you. Wow, what a discipleship program, amen? Can you imagine 10 people grabbing a hold of you at work saying, teach me about God? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, that's what's going to happen over here in the kingdom. And so, man, that's exciting. So, that's why Peter was opposed to eating meats, because they're still obeying the law. Nothing's been revealed that would make them not obey the law. So this was serious business to Peter. All right. Hey, I think I'm going to continue this next Wednesday night, and I want to answer a few more questions. Why did Peter consider it unlawful to keep company with Gentiles? Why did Peter, let me ask you this, after this event in Acts 10, when these Gentiles get saved, I mean, buddy, after this event, did Peter then begin this great Gentile ministry, and did he continue to reach out and save Gentiles after this? Yes or no? We're going to look at it. We're going to find out why. Okay? And we're going to even get into Cornelius and his house speaking in tongues and what all that's about. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. What a joy your word is when we rightly divide it. And Lord, as we study Acts 10, this is such a pivotal chapter, such a bridge, that we really need to have a grasp of it. So, Father, help us to understand these things, to not read in future revelation into the text, but to realize where things are at there in Acts 10. And, Lord, I just pray that we will love you and love your word and really be students of the word of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.